right, my talkers. We are hanging out right now. It's me and Lori. We're doing the thong
show. We're doing the thong show today.
When you opened it up like that, that just made my day. It was fun. It's a good way to take a glimpse into it. But been having fun. What's in store for us right now, Lori?
Well, I was just laughing on the break. I watched it this morning with Casey, but then you posted it last night. Jimmy Kimmel got Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, right. Eminem, and 50 Cent to do a Grey's Anatomy skit called Dre's Anatomy. And it was very
funny.
Very funny. It's posted for your entertainment. And
absolutely.
You know what? 50 Cent, he has become a real powerhouse in
TV,
in TV and Hollywood. I loved that show, Power.
Power.
On Stars.
Yeah, fantastic.
That was my show. Oh my gosh.
And the other thing, too, because 50 Cent, as you know, Dr. Dre was founded for Eminem. And then Eminem kind of found, he found 50 Cent. So 50 Cent's production company, and this came out a little bit ago, they're going to be doing a show based on 8 Mile.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, so 8 Mile.
Well, he's partnered with the right person.
Yeah, I mean, they're all part of like the same it's Aftermath Records is what Dr. Dre, that's his record label, and where, you know, Beats, where he became so popular.
That's what I just really know him from.
Yeah, his Beats, when Apple bought Beats, he became a billionaire. But,
right.
But, you know, Dr. Dre, if you ever want to see something really, really cool, obviously we'll talk about his Hollywood star here, but if you just Google Dr. Dre and how he discovered Eminem, and it's on YouTube, about 5 to 10 minutes, and it's just, they instantly had a connection.
Yeah.
And Eminem, just a star in his own. Dr. Dre is a star. 50 Cent, he's not the block anymore. Remember him coming out at the Super Bowl. He's definitely slimmed down a little bit. But they honored.
Anyway, it's a funny skit.
Yeah,
funny
cool.
bit. The writers came up with that. And then good old Roger Freeman at Showbiz 411 was at the premiere last night at the Lincoln Center Roadhouse in New York City.
Oh, we got a review. Good hear.
And,
let's hear
okay,
it.
So a couple of things. Doug Liman, the director, was at this one.
Oh.
He was there. He's been upset with Amazon. That's why he didn't go to Sundance, for not putting the movie in a theater first.
Yeah.
Because it was an MGM movie. When they signed the deal, it was going to have a theatrical release.
Yeah.
And then Amazon was like, no, we're just going to drop it.
And Amazon did that with Air. They ended up giving it the theatrical release, which I think gave it the propel that it needed. I mean,
and that movie was so good.
Fantastic. It was a short theatrical release, but it was the right amount. And I feel
so that's what Doug Liman, that's why he didn't go to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
That was the beef.
So he was there at this most recent one. That's
good. He stayed for the after party. He didn't go up on stage with Jake Gyllenhaal to introduce the film. But the nice touch that they did was they, before the movie rolled, an opening card came down dedicating the movie to the memory of Patrick Swayze, star of the 1989 original. And it's him, and it's like a memory of Patrick Swayze, whose legacy of strength and greatness reminds us all to be nice.
Yeah, I was just going to get the rules of Roadhouse.
Of Roadhouse. So here's what Roger wrote, because he saw the movie.
Oh, okay.
He says, Gyllenhaal gives a muscular performance in Roadhouse as Dalton, who's now a former MMA fighter, moved to the Florida Keys after accidentally killing a friend.
Mm.
In the old movie, the Roadhouse was a dusty shack in the Midwest.
Yep.
Now it's in a bar and a restaurant on the water. Roger Freeman writes, it should be called Boathouse. He's funny. Also, Swayze never looked like he worked out. He was a dancer who maybe practiced Tai Chi. Gyllenhaal is sculpted like he's been working with a trainer 24/7.
Yeah, they were saying that he was working
MMA.
With MMA guys. And they also they filmed a scene at a big MMA event in Vegas. They used, you know, they told everybody beforehand that they're, you know, inside of this fight, we're going to because there is a MMA fight scene within the movie, and it's actually, so when you watch it, if you do get a chance, know that that was not just set up. That was actually taking place at a real MMA fight in Las Vegas. To get the crowd, extras made it kind of easy, but yeah, it's
right.
It's a different story. I'm still very intrigued. I'm going to watch it.
You know what? I think it's going to be better than what we thought. And, you know, they can't call it Boathouse. It doesn't have the same ring as Roadhouse. But so here's what else Roger went on to say in his review of the movie. Because it is on, it's, we can watch it right now, right? On Amazon.
Yeah.
Today or tomorrow.
Yep.
Gyllenhaal and Lyman, the director, approached the whole thing from kind of a Marvel perspective. Dalton is like a superhero who warns the villains up front. He's going to make mincemeat out of them. Then does so like Iron Man meets the Hulk. And he likes to ask before pulverizations, do you have insurance? He's very witty, very handsome. His hair is never mussed. At times, Dalton almost breaks the fourth wall with meta revelations. He is an eye-opening collection of lovely silk shirts that never quite button. And his enemy is some rich kid whose criminal father is in jail for bad things. And that guy wants to buy the roadhouse and all the property and turn it into a resort. So he hires real-life, wild-eyed, crazy wrestler Conor McGregor to come and kill Dalton.
Yeah, there was a story a couple days ago, too, that when they were, there's obviously a fight between Dalton, a.k.a. Jake Gyllenhaal, that Jake got a cut on his hand while they were fighting and got a staph infection while they were actually grappling with it.
Really?
Because, you know, I mean, I'm thinking that's maybe a reflection of the scene of Patrick Swayze and who's our guy with the mustache? Oh, remember when they fought each other by the river in the original Roadhouse?
Oh, Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Yeah. They were friends, so not enemies, but, you know, they had that.
Well, here's, Roger says, it's a formula movie, but in the best way. Mostly it's about beautifully choreographed and stage fights, amazing underwater cinematography, and action, action, action. Lyman made this for the big screen, and it's a shame people don't get to see it this way. If you watch it on Prime, and I suspect Roger writes, that's how people will, a really big TV will add to the excitement. All you need to know is that Roadhouse would have been a huge box office hit in the theater.
I would have gone for sure in the theater, and I'm writing it on my hand right now, so I watch it tonight because I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This. But going back to the three rules, I found the clip. Let's just play it for fun. This is the original Patrick Swayze just telling the bouncers. And I got to cut it quick because there's a word after it. But yeah, this is just the original three rules of Roadhouse.
All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
Simple. Be nice.
Be nice. Be nice.
Oh, Patrick.
All right. Anyway. So, yeah, I guess I could see why that director is bummed out.
Yeah. And
like he knew he made a great movie. And this is the kind of a movie that, you know, I think like Casey would go to this movie in a heartbeat.
Oh,
he loves
yeah.
anything. If there's good fighting and it's choreographed and it's staged well and done well. Well, look at Damn Rocky, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it is, for whatever reason, we like watching a story that's got that element.
And Warrior with Tom Hardy back in the day, you know, yeah. he was, when he became an MMA fighter and had to fight his brother at the end.
Right.
But this was a story from back in February, and we brought this up yesterday, because Amazon Studios was hit Roadhouse, their copyright infringement lawsuit involving AI abuse claims. So in general, and I'm not going to get to the legal aspect of it because I don't like to get too legal about it. But from what I remember, this story is about is that they are saying that they were using AI to kind of complete the film while they weren't supposed to be during the
writer's strike.
During the writers and actors strike. So they weren't using writers and actors. They were using computer to kind of fill in some gaps working on the movie when they shouldn't have been.
Oh, no, they didn't.
And this, they're being sued right now. Amazon Studios is hit with
maybe they will be changing it to Boathouse.
See, so that's that. And that maybe where I thought might have, with the director, there might have been a little bit of you know, he might be mad about that allegation. I don't know. But that's a sneaky story that I think was one of the weeks you were off.
Okay.
In Hawaii, we talked about this, but there was some, and it's still currently going on. It's not like it's been resolved by any means.
Right.
So, still in court. So we'll see. Because that's a big allegation. You can't be, as much as I love this movie, if that's the case, and they went behind the back of the writers.
Scabbed.
That's not good. That's not good at all. So,
but I'm going to try and remember the next time you have to compliment somebody, see if muscular as an adjective would work in describing the performance.
Muscular. Well, if he looked like Jake does in the pictures I'm seeing right now, he looks muscular. Absolutely.
Yeah, he really. Well, you know, what else? I mean, if I were an actor, I would be very dedicated to doing whatever the salary said that I was going to do.
Absolutely. And think of the time. I mean, when you have the time
right.
to be an actor, you have more time to work on your body. And your body is a part of being acting. Yeah. You know, I mean, we do radio. We don't have to. You guys look beautiful every day. You see me in my hoodie sweatshirt. But, you know, if you have the time, you've got the trainers that they have. I would take full advantage of it.
He did when he was on with Jimmy Fallon. He said that he was like for 3 solid months, trained hard, like a real MMA fighter.
Which is...
The protein, the fighting, the
weight
chin-ups, the weight, all that, pushing tires. Mm-hmm. I mean, all this. He looked like he had 13 abs.
It doesn't surprise me.
13, you know,
he's
little
in that
ripples.
Prime age, though, of where you get... What is he, 35? How old is...
Jake is in his 40s.
He's in his 40s?
He's an eternal bachelor. That's why he's gotten married.
That's why he looks like so younger.
I don't know if he really does, but
well, he does look
young. Yeah, he is in his 40s.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That gives me hope.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You got so much time.
Someday, maybe.
All right, listen. When we come back, we've got the dirt alert from you, and I don't think we've talked about whatever you're going to talk about.
Oh, we've got some good stuff here.
Okay, good. Hey, everybody, it's Lori here for Minneapolis Anti-Aging and Skin Clinic. And we talked with Brian Barron today, and we just talked specifically to him about lip fillers. And when you go into Minneapolis Anti-Aging and Skin Clinic, one of the things that Sarah, one of the other nurse practitioners, whoever you meet with, if you feel like your lips could use a little fluff, but you're nervous, you don't want to have big Kardashian lips or whatever, they make recommendations based on your skin elasticity. They're very experienced. In the month of March, it's $100 off Juvederm, which is a hyaluronic acid that people can use as fillers. That is just amazing. So your first step is just going in, having a consultation. Go to mplsskin.com and tell them that Lori and Julia sent you. You will be so delighted, Maple Grove and Golden Valley.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Grant.
Hey.
Let's get to some dirt.
Let's get to some dirt. Just a little continuation of what we were talking about at the beginning of the last segment at the 5 o'clock hour. We were talking about Dr. Dre's anatomy and how they did a little fun skit posted to the Lori and Julia show page. And they were all, the whole crew being Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, and Snoop Dogg were all with Eminem or with Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. And they were just talking about, you know, a lot of things.
Kimmel seems to be buddies with all those guys. Yeah. I know he and Snoop are buddies.
He and Snoop are close. Yeah, they do a lot of, but But the biggest thing is Dr. Dre doesn't do a lot of interviews, doesn't go on TV a lot. So that was a big deal. But they were also there to honor the fact that Dr. Dre got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
1 week after Lenny Kravitz. They're really clipping the stars out.
That's right. That's right. But this is cool. There's a picture, I mean, and again, that showed up. Eminem was alongside him, 50 Cent and Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
All there. But, you know, the only thing that my question would be is if Tupac would be there. And this only comes...
Only you can answer that, or someone who's like that knows this East Coast, West Coast rap stuff. I don't know. I mean,
Dr. Dre and Tupac were close, but Snoop and Tupac were not. And so there was always that divide. But it's just good to see that these guys, I mean, four legends in their industry together. And obviously Dr. Dre deserving of that Hollywood star fame. I mean, his influence on music... And even just like accessories of music, beats. I mean, a billionaire off of a pair of headphones. Yeah. So
he was really, was he a dog to his wife? And really, did he drag her?
He did. Well, there was the divorce.
Try and do her dirty.
There was the divorce, and there was some money hiding and money.
And I feel like he had mistresses and all kinds of bad man behavior.
Yeah, he was definitely I would say a toxic male relationship type person. Yeah. And he was hiding money, moving things around. But
that's I remember.
She got
about
paid
him.
Though. She did. They eventually found.
Yeah, because there wasn't a prenup, and they had been married 20 some years, and she looked the other way for a long time.
Yeah. So, but you know, not saying that.
But he's single now and mingling with all his guy buddies. Good lord.
Yeah, and he's producing Eminem's new album, which is a big deal. Eminem's got a new one coming out. And Eminem looking, you know, and still as talented as possible. So exciting for that. And I talked about 50 Cent producing 8 Mile. You know, I mean, TV series, 8 Mile. Yeah.
Very along the lines of I can see like because Power is a very gritty show. And then
Empire.
They did Ghost. No. Yeah. And then Empire. But then Ghost, I think, was a prequel to
Power.
To Power. And he's a good actor.
Yeah. He's a great actor. Great producer. He's putting out great material. But also another couple guys that put out good material, our guy Travis Kelce and his brother Jason Kelce. The New Heights podcast came out today, and in this podcast they were referencing an NBA player and made a connection to lab-grown diamonds, and it's throwing Taylor Swift fans and people into a frenzy. So I'm just going to give you an idea of what they were talking about. So they were talking about this NBA player named Victor Wembanyama. He's 7 feet tall. I believe he plays for somewhere down in Texas, but that's not neither here nor there. And he said, you can tell that this dude was made in a lab over in France, this being Jason. And then he goes, lab-grown diamonds. That's a lab-grown NBA player. Call it what you want. Or no, can't wait till I make my own.
Oh.
So now people are saying, make my own diamond ring, make my own baby.
It could be taken any number of ways. I mean, he usually clever like that on his
show,
doing little double
He does a little bit of double speak, but he usually keeps their relationship very tight knit.
Yeah.
He's not using her as clout to get people to come in. And Jason even kind of came in and was like, hey, you know this is going to start conspiracy theory. So Jason read right into it, which is kind of fun. Megan Fox, she's all over this Call Her Daddy podcast. And she admitted to a few things. One being that she was not, while married to Brian Austin Green, she was not a great girlfriend or a great wife. She said that she fell in love.
I have something in common with Megan Fox. I, too, was a terrible first wife.
Well, she was young when they first married.
I believe she was
18 when they first met. And then he's 13 years older than her. And they finally got married when she was 24. But she said she was so young, she never got to be single. She'd go on set and fall in love with whoever she was working with. You know, just she admitted that she was not
love
good.
It. Well,
and,
yeah.
And he,
I can see how that would happen. He seemed like he was so controlled. That talk about being at the wrong ages together, 18 and 30.
Yes. And she mentioned that I was really young and should not have been in that relationship of that level of commitment. And he also was not as good of a husband as he could have been. She said that. So you're 100% right there.
But isn't the big news that she's no longer engaged?
That's the next part. So the next part is she also admitted later on in that podcast that she is no longer engaged because the host of the show, and I'm going to leave her name out.
Oh,
but she,
Alex Cooper.
Yeah, Alex Cooper. Yep, Alex Cooper. She basically said, I feel like everyone has such an opinion on your guys' relationship. You got engaged. Then I think it was called off. Then we don't know what's going on with you. And Fox replied by confirming all those things are true, but left us hanging as to where their relationship status currently sits.
I will always be connected to him somehow.
Somehow.
Actually, the only way you can really be connected to somebody somehow is if you've had a child together. Otherwise, you can just move along.
I agree.
But anyway, it does seem like that's a good idea not to get married.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we go down the Pippin Road, do you think? Or should we?
Chef's choice. Whatever dirt you want to bring me.
I don't want to take this one from you, but this one doesn't surprise me, but Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan have finally officially broken up, according to a source. They're saying that they have been broken up for weeks now.
Okay, well, that is not true because they were just seen like 2 weeks ago
on Valentine's Day for dinner.
Yeah, and even past that, she's just filmed E's House of Villains. She's popping around. She's been on Traitors.
Yes.
You know, she's...
Every time she can get her name in the headline to kind of get herself promoted right now. Yeah,
and also, they have insurmountable issues between the two of them. Their age, his dad, her ex-husband. She already has kids. He wants to have kids. Just start over.
Yeah, move on. The orgasmic haze is over.
Just be done.
Be done and have your fun. And finally, we'll round this one out with here. The Never Ending Story, the famous movie from 1984, cult following, is going to be getting a series adaptation. This has been the last kind of like fantasy properties out there that people have been bidding for. It has officially been bought by Seesaw Films, and they'll be bringing us a fantastic version of The Never Ending Story in a series.
I feel like I took a 10-year-old niece to that or something.
Oh, I'm sure you did. That was A Trail with the Flying Dog. Yes. Oh my gosh, that movie. Yes. Fantastic movie from the 80s. But
hey everybody, it's Lori here for Learning RX. And boy, confidence in the good way, which is when you can read in and understand what you're reading as a kid. And being a better reader will make you so much better at questioning things, which gives you more confidence. And people are always so impressed with the one-on-one brain trainers that work with their kids during their time. Any family who has a child who's struggling with reading comprehension, dyslexia, or attention, you really can get proven true results that stay, and your kid is forever changed. 7 locations for Learning RX, 952-949-6900. Mention Lori and Julia to get the assessment, 50% off.
It was quite the scandal.
What do you have for us on this?
Oh, what is our scandal? Well, you know what? So I don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I feel like I got a radio show and I'm talking.
You have your own.
And basically it is a podcast. So I just... Don't happen to listen to too many, but The Hollywood Reporter has this podcast called It Happened on Hollywood, and they just get, in this case, it was the two of the producers and a screenwriter to talk about the making of The Sting. With Robert Redford Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, yeah.
So it is kind of fun. I'm always endlessly fascinated with the behind the scenes of all this Hollywood stuff.
And, absolutely.
And it's called It Happened in Hollywood. And if you were interested in a rollicking conversation about how a movie got made. So Paul Newman and Robert Redford, of course, they only made 2 movies together, much to the public's, disappointment, because they were just magic together. But the 1969 Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, epic movie. Yeah, if you've never seen it, you need to take the snowstorm if it happens on Sunday and tuckle up and watch an amazing Western.
I agree.
And then 4 years later, they did The Sting in 1973. And that was... it did huge box office, Butch Cassidy, but The Sting was even more popular. And The Sting, if you've never seen that, that's about a syndicate of confidence men, which is, you've heard the term con men.
Yeah.
Well, they're called confidence men, And it got shortened to Conman because they're so confident in their scheme and what they're selling. You think of some of the big con men that are, you know, in the public, and you, it's just like unbelievable the stuff. They can just lie and lie and lie and get away with all this stuff because they got the confidence.
Sawyer's character in Lost, one of the best con men on TV.
Confidence man. That's where con man comes from, is confidence. So it's about these. And I think that's how they were referred to, like, you know, in maybe dime store novels or just ways, but it got shortened down over the years to con.
Con man. Yeah, makes more sense.
So these guys are planning cons in the Great Depression. Oh. Newman and Robert Redford.
Okay.
You would love this movie, Grant.
I'm going
to check it out. And it was a dream shoot, according to these two producers, on the Universal backlot is where it was done, except for one particular annoyance. And that annoyance was that, and I guess it's the 50th anniversary of the Sting winning 7 Oscars.
Oh, 7. Wow.
7.
There you go. You can watch it on Netflix, by the way. If you have Netflix, you can stream it for free. You can also buy it on Prime for $3.99. But if you have Netflix, you can watch it for free.
It's an epic movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Redford, his big thing that he did was he was always late. Every single day.
Oh.
He was always late. And the two producers and the screenwriter just said, like, Paul Newman was just incredible. He felt that he always felt like he wasn't going to measure up to the role, and he'd only been hired for his blue eyes. He was just a very, very humble man. The first day he showed up on the set, and he was a giant, you know, a hero to me. And this is one of the... This is the screenwriter talking. I was totally starstruck. And he came over and he said, "Hi, I'm Paul. Great script you got here. I hope I don't bleep it up." And the screenwriter goes on to say Newman was just such a happy presence on the set. He would bring popcorn, always make jokes, always professional, always on time, make fun of his mistakes. It was just a real privilege to work with him. And he's 43 at the time of filming, and Robert Redford is 37 at the time. And he was a joy to work with once he got to the set. He was chronically late. That's what the scriptwriter said. That was the thing. And it never ended. He would almost like clockwork arrive every day about 40 minutes late.
Do you think that was a power move? Or?
Okay, here's what he said. Eventually... The Hollywood Reporter that's leading the discussion. They're like, well, what did Newman say? He's there on time. He's the bigger movie star.
Absolutely.
One day, Newman tore him apart for it. The screenwriter said, Paul was the biggest star on the planet. And he said something like to Bob, what are you, a movie star? When he came in late, and Bob shrunk from it. The dressing down led to a slight improvement. Then Robert Redford started showing up just 20 minutes late instead of 40. And this screenwriter, Bill Phillips, says, you know, this lateness, it was like this psychological flaw. He had this compulsion not to be on time. It comes with the mantle of feeling like you are a movie star. Mm-hmm. Said, I did a film with Steve McQueen. He was the same thing. His time.
Really?
He said the same thing, but not Paul Newman. Paul Newman didn't play that game.
Of course not.
And the lateness didn't improve with age. One of the producers said he worked with Robert Redford on this movie called, and this one I cannot remember. It came out in 1988, The Milagro Beanfield War. I feel like it was based on a book.
Okay.
But Robert Redford started and directed it. And the producer said, yeah, every day we were going to start shooting at 7 a.m. And it would get to be 9:30 a.m. and we still hadn't seen him. And then all of a sudden, we see this rider and horse coming across the mesa in the distance. And the AD had binoculars. Oh, yeah, there's Redford. And then he'd come on set and he wouldn't say anything to anybody about being late. The rest of it was all normal and professional, but he just, I don't know what it was. Maybe he had a superstition about being on time. All I know is for that movie, he had Cheech Marin waiting 2 days up in Sundance because they were filming around that area for his audition for the Milagro movie. He brought him up to audition on a Tuesday and didn't get to him till Thursday. He put him up at Sundance in a real nice cabin and everything, but Cheech was losing his mind, mm-hmm. wondering if he was getting, you know, the role. So yeah. Anyway, The Sting went on to gross $156 million, which in 1973 would be about a billion.
Wow. I was just going to say, huge. What is that? Wow.
Huge. And then Butch Cassidy in 69 earned $102 million, which is about $889 million today. Both films stylishly directed by George Roy Hill and very popular with the Academy. Butch was nominated for 7, won 4. Sting won 7 of its 10, but including Best Picture, Original Screenplay, and the director for George Roy Hill.
Yeah, well, and I'm reading an article here. I'm just looking that Jane Fonda, this was back about a year ago, she talked about how this continued. This was not an uncommon thing.
Yeah, this is Bob's. This is his one bad thing that anyone has to say about him.
He was always,
late.
He was always in a bad mood, and I always thought it was my fault, she said, when they talked about her time on Ordinary People back when they did that movie mm-hmm. together. And they also, because they also did the Chase, Barefoot in the Park, The Electric Horseman, Our Souls at Night. But more recently, she did a Netflix film called Our Souls at Night. And
that was so good.
She said, I was about 80 years old or something like that. And she thought he had finally grown up, but it wasn't the case. He was 3 hours late and in a bad mood every single day of shooting. This was not too long ago.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, that's his thing. But two good movies to check out if you've never watched Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which is a Western.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot 'em up Western. Or you want to see a stylish movie about confidence men running cons in the 30s. You got two of the most beautiful men in Hollywood wearing striped suits and spats.
Yeah, Robert Shaw, too, in that one.
Yeah, yes. Quinn from Jaws.
That's right, Quinn. Oh, God, yeah.
Well, he could wear that skinny little mustache and look pretty sinister as the muscle.
That's right, because he was a big dude. Yeah. Big guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool story, thank
All
you.
All right, there you go.
All right.
Thank you, Grant.
You're welcome.
So good. I love that song.
Oh, it's been a while.
Can't wait to play that on a pontoon in July.
Right? July 25th.
Yeah.
It'll be a great day to play that
good,
song.
Good, good song.
It is. It hits. Play at Christmas. I mean, but it feels great listening to that song.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
Cher, you know, she's been quiet on Twitter since she auctioned off, you know, dinner at the Malibu house. Mm-hmm. And as far as Instagram, I mean, she has, they have some exciting news. There's an Amfar gala at Cannes, and Cher is going to be the musical guest. So we do have exciting news.
Oh, there you go.
So if you're going to be in Cannes, May 23rd, look on the red carpet. Cher's going to be there.
There was also a video clip that we played. I think the weeks kind of blend together with you going to Hawaii, but you might have been the week you were gone, but A.E. and Cher were on the red carpet together, and they did a little fit check, and they were just adorable.
They looked so good together.
And he was smiling and describing how beautiful. I mean, it was, I love their relationship.
I do too, Grant.
I love their relationship. I love she's having fun. She looks like she's happy. He looks beyond happy. Have that fun.
Yeah, and they're like at maybe similar points in their life. And he's not in his 20s. He's 37.
No, he's very, 37. He knows what he wants and shares.
He already has children.
Yeah,
he's a grown-ass man. So they don't need to have that. And I how much fun it would be to hang out with Cher.
Oh.
Cher, she just is.
Yep.
I mean, she's Cher.
She's the queen.
There's fun. She has such a light energy, but that's a big get for Amfar to get Cher to come and perform.
Yeah.
And she'll do that song in May.
I hope so.
She better.
She better. That's right.
Okay, what's on TV tonight? The Masked Singer, and I don't even know what I'm reading, but Group C performs for Billy Joel tonight.
What?
So does that mean he's a guest judge?
He's got to be a guest judge, yeah. That's
Group
that's
C. They put the little masked people together in groups.
I don't know. I don't watch the show personally.
The first season finale of Wild Cards airs on the CW. I cannot report on that show, but I can say that I have 7 episodes on my DVR, and I will just have to watch this all in one grouping.
And you're going to love it.
Of
Rotten
course.
Tomatoes is giving it I mean, it's getting huge numbers on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Audience is at 85 and critics are at 100.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think my guy is in it. One of our...
Let's see the cast.
The cast we know and like...
Well, there's a guy I can't pronounce. Max Xavier. Guciamo Gutiani. No.
Yeah.
Terry Chen.
It's a real good looking cast. And you know, I love the CW.
Oh, Jason Priestley.
Yeah, Jason Priestley's in it.
Yeah, Priestley from 90210.
Yeah.
This is the... Yeah, he would... Because that's why he was on with... Kelly and Mark, I think, recently talking about this show.
He's talking about this show. So that is the finale. I've just had that on the DVR. Family Law's third season finale, also on CW, is airing. The 21st season premiere of Top Chef, 21st is 9 o'clock. Watch What Happens Live has Josh Lucas, who'll be promoting Paul Morreale, and then Jose Andre, the chef.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And then X-Men 97 is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's been a big... That's 97
being, animated.
Yeah, animated. It's a big deal because the 97 being back, I think, right into 1997, it's a remake of the cartoon from 97. I am not a big X-Men guy, but it is doing very, very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the season premiere of a juicy dramedy, Paul Morreale, on Apple TV with Carol Burnett, Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Leslie Bibb. That drops maybe two episodes tonight. And then on late night, we only have two fresh late night shows besides Andy Cohen. Jimmy Fallon has Kristen Wiig. I knew she would go on his show promoting Paul Morreale. And then Lenny Kravitz.
Ooh.
Y'all. And then Jimmy Kimmel has Jared Carmichael, Janelle James, and Chicano Batman. So that's kind of a fun lineup. And remember Carmichael, he's the one, the stand-up comedian guy.
Yes, I was just looking him up.
And he did the Globes a year ago.
Yes, yeah.
And and I don't know. I hope Lenny Kravitz is both a guest and a musical performer on Jimmy Fallon. He'll do a skit with Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, yeah. And Jared Carmichael actually has a reality show too on HBO that he's doing. And it's outright. It premieres March 29th, so that's probably what he's promoting right now.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
And if you missed, Billy Joel, and you're a Billy Joel fan, the repeat of him appearing was really good. Couch with Colbert is on tonight.
Oh, that's a repeat. A good one.
It was a great. They had, like, Billy Joel respects Stephen Colbert, and you could tell that he came to play, because I think he can be prickly.
Well, yeah, and they were having fun. I mean, he got him to admit that he was like, yes, even though this is the last show coming up on July 25th, I believe, or 22nd, he was like, that doesn't mean we can't play again there. I think he brought up... He even got to joking about having hanky panky a little bit.
Yeah. Like,
Colbert got, because you know Billy. Yeah, he's not the most, animated guy, but Colbert got it out of him. We had a lot of clips from that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So,
that's good couch.
And then, for your, your procedural comfort food tonight, Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Chicago PT.
Do you get in any of those?
I it's Wednesday night. Wait. I don't have this much room on the DVR. I got to save it for Law and Order Thursday night.
And that's another reason, Wednesday nights, too.
Yeah. I mean, but I know I would love them.
Yeah, me too. But I've never gotten into it. And I love that they're all back to back to back, kind of like our Law and Orders do it. You're right. Those three in a row are for Thursday nights, a little...
Yeah, I mean, I got to pick one or the other. I don't have all this time to, I can't learn to be a firefighter and
be an
investigator. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't really have anything else.
I got one weird story to talk about. You remember last year when we came out with the that horror film with Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now I
was not going to go see that.
Nobody is. But because of the intellectual rights that are going up with Winnie the Pooh, with Tinkerbell, Bambi, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Tigger, Piglet, the Mad Hatter, Sleeping Beauty, all this IP, it's going up for grabs. So now they're creating what's called Poohverse. And it's a horror film universe
where all these characters
are going to be horror, and they're playing, it's a playoff of Star Wars, or not Star Wars, but Marvel's
universe.
Yeah, but they came out with a poster, and it's got all the It's really creepy. I'm not a fan of it. The second, it's called Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. It comes out March 26th, so in a few days.
You can't make it up. Like, who would want to see any of this?
I don't know. I'm not watching any of them, but I love that they're going with Poovers.
Yeah, that's something else. That's like Nicole Kidman modeling her muscles in lingerie in Elle magazine. Wow. Yeah. Thank you for posting that.
Nice lingerie, too. Yeah.
Nice lingerie and just... like very, I don't know. It felt very arty.
Arty, yeah. Not too skimpy. Definitely arty.
Not too skimpy. All right, we wore thongs today.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, see you guys tomorrow.